We're changing gears today and going all the way through Ruth chapter 2. So let's turn there to Ruth 2. We've already covered Ruth 1, which was mostly on the road back from Moab to Bethlehem. And we're going to look at Ruth 2 now. And we learned last week as it concluded that it was the beginning of barley harvest, which would lead eventually into the rest of the harvest, leading on even into wheat harvest. But we have Mara. Her new name is Bitter. That is Naomi. We have Ruth, and we're going to meet some new characters today. I'm going to read chapter 2 all the way through. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and have come to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, He said to me, "You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest." And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Well, this is God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've preserved this story for our good and for your glory. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to waste any food. And I'm not sure that we're supposed to kind of lighten up on things as we get older, and especially as we have more children. And I know that my older children think I'm spoiling my younger ones in some ways, but I don't think I'm spoiling them in this way. When you pour that bowl full of milk all around your cereal, I don't like to see that milk poured down the drain. I like for it to be. I don't like to waste that milk down the drain. And I remember I was so, it was such a relief to hear that the Christoponuses were the same way back in Louisville. And I'll tell you what, it'd be great to have children. And this is the worst thing they do. She said, when we went to college, Dad, we would just go into the sink and pour that milk down the drain. And just think about Dad, that he made us drink it back at home. Well, the Lord actually, He had a built-in little system, and it was actually a working welfare program where he made sure things didn't go to waste, but he did it in a benevolent way. So he had built into his system of his fields that when they would harvest their crops, that he didn't want them to go back and pick up around the edges, that anything that fell on the field. But he, for the poor and the widow, the orphans, and the sojourners, if they're willing to work and go out there and pick it up, he wanted his people to leave that for them, so that those, again, who were willing to work and to go behind the harvesters and pick it up would do so. And so that's kind of the background of this portion of the story of Ruth, is how God is using that. And again, we're in the time of the judges, I remind you. I can't say everything I want to say in this whole chapter. There's a lot for God to teach us. And I'm going to take the time I have to use it to see what we can get, all that we can get from it. But I can't say everything. But while it's on my mind, I will remind you, this is the time of the judges. Remember the time of the judges, there was no king and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So it's sort of like in that rough time, we're getting a little glimpse of how there would still be pockets of faithfulness. And we see that being worked out. But we also see the danger as this story plays out today, and how protection is needed. Well, as we look at today's text, I have it divided into these four sections. The first section, and all of these deal with God's grace. First of all, God's gracious providence. His gracious providence. We're in the field today and we see the circumstances that God arranges. We immediately are given the reader's edge because we're told a little background. Naomi had a relative from the clan of Elimelech. This clan, through Elimelech's line right now, which has no way for it to go forward, by the way. All we have is Naomi, a woman, and her daughter-in-law. The husband and the two sons have died. But in this family, there is Boaz. And we're just told that in verse 1. We're given we're introduced to a new name, Boaz. A worthy man. Worthy man in that sense would mean a man that had had material success, but was also a man of honor, an honorable man. A worthy man, that's what it would mean. So we're told of him. Then we have Ruth, having learned since she got to Bethlehem of the fact that she could go glean the fields after the harvester, she says, let me go do this, Naomi, and maybe I'll find favor, and we can have food to eat. Naomi says, go, my daughter. And so she goes, and she begins gleaning. And we see God's subtle providence as it begins to work its way into the story. And I hope I tried to emphasize it. And as the writer writes this, I want you to know this writer is writing simply, first of all, this is a masterpiece short story in the way that the story is told. But he writes it in a way to keep our interest. And so you'll notice it says she set out. And she just happened to come to the field, the part of the field belonging to Boaz. And then we're told later that he happens to come back to Bethlehem, having been away on business. And so we're immediately seeing God's providence at work. We've been told that Boaz is a worthy man, and we find out that she is now gleaning in his field. God's providence is completely holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing every creature. And every action is at work here in subtle ways. She just happens on her first day to go to his part of the field. Now, we're once again introduced, again, through God's providence, that she goes to the field of this kind of person. Notice, when he comes in, now he's the boss. This is the CEO. This is the head man of this entire operation. And this is a big operation, a big farming operation. The CEO, the head man, comes in, and the first thing he says to his reapers is, "The Lord be with you." That's a great way to act at the office, isn't it? His office happens to be out here in the field. The Lord be with you. You know, that's the only place that exact statement is in the Bible, though we use it all the time. Boaz is from where we get that direct statement of a way of greeting each other. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. And so they respond back to the boss. The Lord bless you. And you know they're thinking, we work for a good boss. Some of these other fields around, it's not as good. So, he takes his faith with him to work, Boaz does. There's no happy holidays at Christmas time in Boaz's company. It's Merry Christmas. The Lord be with you. So we're introduced immediately to this man of spiritual stature. All right, now he looks and he sees this young woman, and he asks them, who is this? And he says, well, she's the Moabite woman. She's with Naomi from Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather. And so she's been doing so, except for a short rest. So friends, God's gracious providence is at work. His providence can happen in subtle ways. Just little things we realize God was with us. In my studies for this, I came across a story that I'm going to tell you about God's providence. Now we all have little, I don't know if we have one quite this interesting, but there was an evangelist who in England in the late, kind of the second half of the 19th century, the 1800s. And he tells a story in his memoirs of being called upon to go to Nottingham, England, to tell a woman was dying and they wanted her to be told about Jesus. So he goes and he gets there to Nottingham and he meets her and she's already filled with the joy of the Lord. And he says, well, how'd you come to know the Lord? I was called to, you know, I was summoned to come here to tell you about him. And she says, so she hands him a piece of paper. And he looks at it, and it is an American. It's a torn piece of an American newspaper, and it's an excerpt from a Charles Spurgeon sermon. Now I'm sure I'll talk about Charles Spurgeon more if a previous minister hadn't already taught you all about him. But when he preached, there was someone over on the side writing down every word he said, and they would have those by the next morning, Charles Spurgeon could look over that and then they would publish it. In fact, he's probably the most published individual person in history. So anyway, one of his sermon extracts from America was there. And he said, well, where'd you get this? And she said, oh, it was a parcel from, it was wrapped over a parcel from Australia. Are you starting to do the geographics, the geography and the math here? So Spurgeon preached, someone wrote down his sermon. It was then sent to America, published in a newspaper. Somebody sent that newspaper to Australia. Somebody in Australia wrapped a gift or a parcel in that newspaper, sent it to England. This lady happened to decide she would read, you know. Y'all, come on, we all do it, don't we? When we unwrap the gift of the newspaper, we start reading it. Because we have a little bit of R.C. Sproul in us. R.C. would even read the cereal box while he was eating his cereal. Like, I got to read something while I'm, can't just sit here idle. So you read the newspaper after you unwrap the parcel, and God saved her. Boy, God can save people in his own mysterious, interesting ways, can't he? Maybe some of you have a story of how he saved you. It's probably not that circuitous of a route of God's providence. He's always at work. He's always at work. Well, we also have God's gracious people. We've already been introduced to this, to Boaz. God's gracious people. We have Boaz. I just want to say a few things about him, just as a way of pointing this out. He is an example. No, he's a sinner just like us. But he's one of the few sinners in the Bible like us who we're just told of his good qualities, of his godliness. There's really not many of those. Most of the human beings in the Bible, we see their errors. This is one that he's one of God's people, a godly man. We're seeing him again at this point in his life. He's mature. He's living for the Lord. And so we see God's gracious people. How part of how God ministers to us is through gracious people. And again, I'm sure you each have a kind of a Boaz figure in your life who you look back and you think, I'm so glad I knew this person and how they benefited me, how they benefited my life. He is ready. He meets Ruth. He takes the initiative to talk to her. She would have never been willing. She would have been too intimidated to come to him. So he meets her. He tells her immediately. He provides protection. Listen, my daughter, I'm in verse 8. Don't go glean in another field. Stay in this one. I've told the young men, don't touch you. We have our first anti-sexual harassment legislation put into the Bible right here. Boaz. He thinks ahead, and he tells them, you keep your paws off Ruth. He protects her. But he provides more than just protection. He says, glean in my fields. When you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink. He then feeds her, and then he tells her, glean here all the way to the end. So he's a provider. He's a protector. He's a provider. He gives her permission. He is a godly man. He's one of God's gracious people. He cares for her spiritually, physically, materially, even emotionally, you might say. I mean, he tells her after she bows on the ground in thankfulness, he says, look, verse 11, I've heard about you. Your testimony is going around. I've heard about you. I've heard of the love that you've shown, how you came from you left your homeland to come here. I've heard about your reputation. You have a good reputation. We have a Moabitess who's acting like a faithful Israelite. She's made God her God. And he mentions and he describes something that is really one of the beautiful descriptions of divine care. And we have to be willing to accept it that us guys, especially, God doesn't mind being compared to being one under whose wings we've come to take refuge. He says to her, I realize, verse 12, the Lord repay you for what you've done, and may you be given a reward because you've come to take refuge under his wings, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. This is actually a very familiar biblical way of describing the one true God. Deuteronomy 32:11. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided them. Isaiah 31:5, like birds hovering, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. And then Jesus would later say, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. God likens himself to a faithful hen gathering her chicks. And so he is acknowledging she, this Moabitess. Please notice neither race nor class nor origin nor sex nor economic status is a stumbling block to Boaz and his God. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And so we have in Boaz one of God's gracious people. And one image from the New Testament, again, came into my mind as I think about Ruth. You know, she says, verse 10, the middle of verse 10, while she's bowing down, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? By the way, we're all foreigners in terms of, unless there's a Jewish Christian in here, we're all Gentiles. So God brought us and crafted us in. Now, true sons of Abraham are all those who have faith in Jesus. But don't forget, we're more like, Ruth in the sense of than we are like Boaz today in this. She says, why have you taken notice of me? I'm reminded of that mother, a Gentile, who asked Jesus to heal her daughter, and he says, no, I can't throw bread to the dogs. Acknowledging she's a Gentile, and she says, but even the dogs can get the crumbs from under the table. And he says, for this kind of faith, go, and you'll find your daughter well. Ruth is humbly asking for crumbs, but Boaz is giving her a feast for the sake of the Lord. And so we have God's gracious people in verses 8 through 16. And so again, 14 to 16 kind of concludes this part of the story. They actually have lunch together. You know, in having a meal with her, he was truly showing her intimate fellowship, sharing a meal. He invites her, he tells her to eat all that she can. And do notice, she then packs up the leftovers. We're going to see those a little bit later. She packs up the leftovers. She's thinking about Naomi and thinking about, you know, how, you know, just how nice it'll be to get home that evening and to share further food with Naomi. Again, this is think about it, what we're talking. We're just here together in church and we're just talking about, well, we're talking about the very things we just prayed about together, didn't we? Didn't we say together today, give us this day our daily bread? Well, that's what God's doing for Ruth, for Naomi, same thing that he now does for us. God often chooses people to influence us. I mentioned one for me last week, a man named David Dively. I'm sure you have your own people that God's put in your life. Since then, Dave is kind of the baton's been handed to a man named Al Baker, who many of y'all know in my life. I'm sure you have these. We don't realize at the time that this is necessary. We need this. God is doing something that later we'll look back and say, I would have never made it but for that person. Think about one of those people right now in your life and thank God for them, that God prepares his gracious people for us. We also have gracious provision. Here's the gracious provision, verses 17 and 18. And I had to have this as its own point because it's so. There's an interesting part about it. So she gleans all day, and she gleans an ephah of barley. Now, she beat it out, okay? So she separated, it says, she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. So she's removed the chaff from this barley, and it says an ephah. Now, I have been told by other commentators who've done the work here that she gleaned as much as what would be the big bag of dog food. Okay? So if those of you have gone and purchased the big bag of dog food, like that's what she was carrying in that day when she went back. God provided. So she gleans. Now, again, you see she's not. This is a work. This is it's a gift, but it's work. She's worked for it. And so when she heads back into the city, I'm going to suggest you imagine the men looking as she comes back through the gate, and the Moabite woman is carrying this. She's got this bag of harvested barley, an ephah of barley that she's carrying into town, okay? God's provided. And of course, she gets home and we realize, I'm gonna move on into the next verses to finish this point. Verse 19. It's in verse 18. She also brought out and gave what food she had left over. So Naomi gets to see Ruth come walking in with barley in one hand and with the to-go box in the other. Naomi knows something's going on here. Can you feel Naomi loosening her grip on? Can you feel the bitterness's grip being loosened upon Naomi? So we then see God's gracious plan start beginning to come to fruition here. Naomi says, "What in the world? Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And it's almost as if, and we don't know if it's Ruth doing this or if it's the narrator or if it's both, but she says, "Well, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And you can imagine the smile come across, old bitter Mara over her face. Probably need to go back to calling her Naomi. Already starting to, the ice is melting. Old empty Naomi. You remember Naomi back in chapter 1, verse 8. She said, "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." She prayed that over Ruth and Orpah. And God is now answering that prayer. Ruth has come home and she has food for today and food that they can now use in cooking, and she has a place to work for the rest of the season. God's hesed, his steadfast love, is at work. Naomi is beginning to see she wasn't as empty as she thought. And then Naomi says to her something that we'll learn more later next week when we get to chapter 3, more about this. "This man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Well, Naomi is beginning to have a spiritual revival. God is at work. God is at work in the big things. God is at work in the small things. God is at work on the outside. God is now at work on the inside. And so the chapter ends with Ruth telling her, look, he said to stay by and just keep gleaning. And she says, this is good. You have safety. And so we're then some time passes here in verse 23. She kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. So now some months pass, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Jeremiah, back when Jerusalem had fallen to the Babylonians, as he looked at all the difficulties before him, he wrote the Lamentations. And right in the center of the book of Lamentations is some verses y'all know very well. It says, the steadfast love, the hesed of the Lord, never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And so, prior to Jeremiah's time, back in the earlier times, we're seeing that play out. God's covenant love and his mercy following us. I pray that you can recognize his covenant love following you, that you will pray just like Naomi prayed, the Lord bless you, that you would pray, Lord, take care of me, take care of us. Lord, provide the Boazes when we need him, and Lord, thank you for the ones that have come before me. I close with this. Psalm 31, verses 7 and 19 and 20. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Well, let's say together, thank you, Lord. This is just as true today for all who come to Christ. All of us today who come and live by faith in him, he will shelter us under his wings. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and finds safety. So may everyone in this place and joining us by Zoom, and even if someone just happens upon this sermon from our website one day, Lord, may you bring each of us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we may find refuge under your wings, not only in this life, but for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.